Desmond gets caught in a catch-22. A mystery woman falls from the sky, and Charlie takes one in the neck of his guitar. We'll have commentary on all that and more in today's official Lost podcast, hosted by ABC.com. Welcome to the podcast in support of the episode DOC, which airs Wednesday, April 25th from 10 to 11 on ABC and the next day at ABC.com. Executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse are back with us today and feeling a little less loopy. They'll rehash last week's episode, Catch-22, and give us a hint at what they've conceived for our next episode, DOC. First up, though, seeing as this week is a Gen Son flashback that promises to answer the question, whose son's baby daddy, we thought it prudent to check in with Daniel Dae Kim and Yeonjun Kim, who apparently heard conflicting stories in answer to that question. Will we finally get the answer to the baby? Will your character potentially discover that he may or may not be the father?
That's a good question. I don't know myself. And to be completely truthful, I was told one thing, and Yeonjun was told another. So we're as up in the air as anybody. I'm looking forward to finding out for Jin. But as far as my work and preparation is concerned, I think Jin definitely does believe it's his child, and it's I'll approach it that way until I hear otherwise.
Well, you know, as soon as I read the script where Sun finds out that she's pregnant, I called Carlton Cuse, one of our executive producers, and I said, Carlton, I need to know, not for me, but as an actress playing this, you know, scene. And he was just like, well, we're going to shoot it in many different ways.
That was a funny conversation because we were sitting in the trailer, and I said, don't worry, I know the answer. And she said, oh, yeah, I know the answer too. I was like, oh, good. Then we started talking about it, and she said, wait a minute. That's not what I heard. Wait a minute. Carlton. I think it's a way of keeping us on our toes, and, you know, anything can happen. In that way, it's a lot like life. You don't know the answers to everything, and you just keep going.
Of course, the question of who is the father of Sun's baby isn't the only controversy caused by these two characters recently. There's also the case of, did someone push Jay out the window?
I read that people thought that maybe Sun's father had pushed him off, or maybe I had pushed him off, you know. But I can see how people could have thought that. On the other hand, you know, he had the pearl necklace, and I think it's an example of how invested the audience is in the show and how it's possible to read between the lines of any given situation.
It's not like Sun pushed him off the balcony or anything. Sun cannot be responsible for two deaths, just one. He, from the script, it was clear that he committed suicide, but how they edited it, and that was very interesting, was you never know why he, you know what I mean? You never see him jumping off the balcony, him deciding. So there were a lot of speculations whether it was Sun's father who pushed them off the balcony, or it was actually Sun who pushed them off the balcony. So a lot of people were, after they saw that, people logged on to so many different websites and just said, you know, there's so many different possibilities. And it was really interesting how they made that and left it very ambiguously.
I think the actor playing Jay was hoping that there was some more foul play involved, because then they could have flashed back to him again.
Unfortunately, for the very talented actor who played Jay Lee, his character is dead. And as Damon and Carlton have cleared up in a podcast previously, no one pushed him. He jumped. To find out if any more bodies will be falling past windows in this or other upcoming episodes, we turn it over once again to executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse.
Well, hey, Damon.
Hi there, Carlton.
Welcome to another Lost podcast. I'm Carlton Cuse, and sitting to my left is Damon Lindelof.
You're looking a lot chippier. Chippier?
I'm looking chippier today, yes. Thank you.
Your hysterical bouts of uncontrollable laughter have passed. You're wearing a nice sweater.
You have a jaunty hat today. No pants, jaunty hat.
Well, you know, you got
no shave either.
Well, you know, I've completely let myself go.
A lot of hair growth from the neck up.
It's that time of year.
Yeah, I guess it is. Well, we're actually kind of happy because we just finished writing the finale last week and got a little bit of rest. We're editing the show.
Ironically, though, they've been shooting it for 2 weeks.
They have. It was a very odd experience to finish writing a script that was already actually filming. But
we were going through it a couple of days ago because it was a little long, looking for lifts, and it was like, oh, here's a great thing that we don't need. And it was like, we shot it a week ago. Well, I guess it's going to come away in editing. So.
Exactly. And we're heading to Hawaii to visit the gang down there, which should be fun.
Awesome. I'm really looking forward to that, Carlton.
I am too, Damon. So let's talk about Catch-22, and then let's move on from there.
Yeah, excellent. Catch-22, last week's episode, written by one of our new writers, Brian K. Vaughn, and Jeffrey Pinkner. No one knows what the K stands for, by the way. It's a big mystery here around the office.
Yeah. If you know the answer, if you're someone from Brian K. Vaughn's past and you know what the K stands for, please let us know.
If you have any suggestions.
Brian is a comic book writer or a graphic novelist. Would that be a better way to call
he's
to describe
both.
Him?
He's written both. He writes a comic book called Why the Last Man and Ex Machina and just recently wrapped up this Runaways. But then he wrote a graphic novel called Pride of Baghdad about lions in Baghdad after the Allied forces arrive, which is really cool. So, enough about Brian, though.
Yeah.
What everybody's asking Carlton is, did Desmond change things by choosing to save Charlie? Obviously, now, once again, Charlie is supposed to die. First, he was supposed to get hit by lightning. Then he was supposed to drown. Then he was supposed to get the bird and, like, bang his head on some rocks. Now, he's supposed to get an arrow in the neck, and Desmond is once again, you know, intervened with fate.
I think he probably did change things, and what that means is that, you know, there might be new iteration under which Charlie might be expected to die. I mean, that would be the logical conclusion.
So you're saying
those things.
It hasn't gone away. We'll be re-exploring that theme.
I think the ultimate question to be asked is there any way of postponing? Are they just postponing the inevitable? I mean, is there some way for Charlie to lift the sort of premonition that Desmond is having about his fate?
Interesting. Well, maybe if what would happen if Desmond were to die and he just stopped having the premonitions? Would that save Charlie? If he, like, kind of took his place?
Yeah.
So it's something to think about.
I think I'm hoping there's going to be more on this before the end of the season.
Carlton, I think your hopes will be answered. And can you tell us a little bit about Catch-22 itself? What is a Catch-22? Is it we see the book itself actually in the episode?
We see a European edition of the Joseph Heller novel, which, again, like many of the books on our show, has some significance. But why don't you tell the audience what a Catch-22 is?
A Catch-22 is basically a no-win situation. It's basically you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. So the scenario is, you know, if Desmond tells Charlie that he is going to die, Charlie will obviously avoid the arrow, but Desmond believes that Charlie has to die in order to be reunited with Penny, because this is the sequence in which he sees the events. So either Charlie dies or he doesn't get to see Penny, both of which end up manifesting themselves as a result of the episode. So in fact, here's this woman at the end of the episode, and she says one word at the end. She says Desmond, so obviously she recognizes him.
Plus, she's got a picture.
Right, we found her bag.
Of Desmond and Penny, so.
Let's just clear this up, by the way.
Did Penny send her?
Well, there's two pictures, right? We've clearly identified that the picture that got taken in Flashes Before Your Eyes, there were two copies of it. Desmond has one, Penny has one. So obviously this is a photocopy of, must be Penny's photo,
copy,
because
right.
Desmond's got his.
Right.
So I would, yeah, I mean,
it seems pretty to make sense that Penny sent this woman.
She doesn't look like Penny's, unless Penny has had a lot of significant plastic surgery. So maybe she's a friend of Penny's, or I don't know,
but it's intriguing.
It's lost, so you're probably going to make me wait about 7 years to find out, right?
No, you're going to find out who she is very soon.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Good.
So she'll have more to say.
You didn't sound genuine about
she'll
that.
Have more to say next week, or
yes.
Oh, good.
She will.
Speaking of things you never tell us, Carlton.
Yes.
The wire that leads out into the ocean. Now,
oh,
Saeed,
that thing.
Saeed first found that wire in, I believe it was Solitary, way back in season one. And he finds this wire, and he follows it into the jungle, and that leads him to Rousseau. And then again, in Numbers, they find it again.
Right.
Now, here we are again at the infamous wire, but nobody's asking the obvious question, Carlton.
What is this stupid wire?
Yeah, where's it going to?
How could they do that whole episode? How could nobody ask what the wire is? I mean,
ridiculous.
It's just lame.
Who's writing this thing?
Carlton. You know what? You know what, Damon? I'm going to promise you that we're going to find out where that wire leads. That's going to be a mystery answered this season.
Oh, so like some other is just going to go, oh, it leads to a desalination machine.
Yeah.
That's
but that's not what he's going to say.
Okay.
But there's going to you're going to get the answer to that question.
Carlton, if you promise, I believe you.
I will. I will promise you that.
So should we do just a little quick pre-hash?
No.
We've got DOC coming up next week. You want to tell us what that stands for, Carlton?
DOC stands for Date of Conception.
Oh.
And I think this is a really cool episode because we're going to finally find out who's the father of Son's baby.
Wow. So.
And, you know, there's a couple of pretty good choices there.
As to who it could be?
Yep. Jin, Jay. Uh-huh.
And then the mystery
person.
Wouldn't that be great if literally at the end of that episode, however Son finds out, they would open up an envelope or however they do it over there, and they'd say, Son, the father of your baby is not Jin, it is not Jay Lee, it is in fact mystery person. Bang, lost.
Wow.
What do you think the audience's response would be if we did that?
Jump the shark.
Again?
Pretty much jump the shark again.
So we will, it's either Jay Lee or
they
Jin?
They open up an envelope over there, that's kind of, I mean like, over there, like what?
They have book clubs and chicken in the refrigerators. You're saying they don't have envelopes?
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
Well, I haven't seen any yet, so you might be right. So, yeah, so we've got a Son and Jin flashback obviously coming up. We'll find out paternity. And I would also assume that Juliet's motives we might shed a little more light on that.
Yeah, obviously people are very curious as to what is up with that woman.
Yeah, what is up with her?
What is up with her?
Is she good or is she bad or...
Well, right now, I think it seems like she's bad, but I wouldn't, you know, make a final decision yet.
Let's get to the questions, Carlton.
Time for some questions.
May I begin? Because I got some doozies for you.
You got all the good questions today, apparently.
Here's a little behind-the-scenes podcast knowledge. Chris, our producer, basically hands us a sheaf of questions submitted by you guys, and it's very thick, and Carlton and I, so that we don't read every question in advance, chop it in half. So this week I took the back half and Carlton took the front half. But
that way we can surprise each other with the questions.
Right. And last week, as Carlton was reading his questions, he started cracking up hysterically. At the time, I didn't realize he was under the influence of some sort of very profound narcotic. But
it was like 5 days of writing with no sleep. I just completely lost it.
And my questions were leaving a little bit to be desired. But this time, I feel like I've got some awesome questions.
Okay, Damon.
Starting with...
The bar is high.
Carlton, this is from Pile of Adams. 4 posts in the last 90 days. That's a nice 4 posts. That's good. You've got a life and probably do other things than write posts for Lost. Hi, Damon and Carlton. Was Ben conceived in a test tube? Or does he have human parents? Was he conceived on one of the islands or was he conceived somewhere else? In the scene where one of Juliet's first mother-to-be guinea pig died on the operating table, where was the father of the baby? Was Ben the father? Thanks, guys. You turned my hump days into fun days.
Wow.
So we'll just start with, was Ben conceived in a test tube?
No.
Does he have human parents?
Yes.
I love that we're getting good answers here. Was he conceived on one of the islands or was he conceived somewhere else?
He claims that he was conceived on the island.
Born.
He was born on the island. Right. But I don't know whether I would believe him.
Interesting. In the scene,
we will learn more about that.
I can't wait. And in the scene where one of Juliet's first mother-to-be guinea pig died on the operating table, where was the father of the baby, and was Ben the father?
Well, the father of the baby, that's a good question. He might have been out, doing one of those others raids in, like, those crazy rags.
He was probably handing out cigars, and then somebody was like, she's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't around, and it wasn't Ben, though. We never imagined that Ben was the... Ben is not like, he's not like one of those, like, polygamous dudes. He's not out there, like,
the guy
impregnating, impregnating all the women.
You know what, Carlton? I just want to thank you from the bottom of my own heart for giving us some definitive answers to those questions.
Absolutely.
I'm sure Pile of Adams is very appreciative.
Here's a, here's a question you can answer definitively also, David.
Oh, I'd love to.
Aaron Can Talk by I Like Lost at 12.
Uh-oh.
126 posts in the last 90 days. Now, this is what happens when you post 126 times and watch the show too much.
Okay.
Hello, Damon, Carlton. I was wondering if anyone else heard Aaron say Claire during One of Us. Does this mean he might be learning to speak now?
I don't think the baby's... Aaron. I don't think the baby said Claire.
Claire.
I have a baby.
Yeah, but you say your baby says words all the time.
Yes, he says ham. That's what he says.
Yeah.
And he also says glorb. And my wife is always like, what is a glorb? And I'm like, I don't know. Don't ask me. I'm not the one saying it. But so it's possible that Aaron said it, but that was certainly not intentional on our part.
Okay.
But you should read what he is writing.
Yes.
Because that is pretty crazy.
He's working on a novel.
Hey, Carlton, this is from Lost in Croatia. One post in the last 90 days. First, I would like to compliment you for creating the best TV show ever. Lost is so great that a tremendous number of highly moral people in Croatia had abandoned their moral standards and resorted to illegal downloading of season 3 episodes. So please, as a compensation for the downfall of morality in Croatia, answer these few questions in your next podcast. Number 1. Since it would be odd to travel with a submarine from Miami to somewhere in the Pacific, is it reasonable to believe that Juliet traveled by plane to another middle of space in the Pacific and that the submarine was docked there within a day's submarine journey to the island?
I think that's not a bad theory.
Interesting.
I think it's pretty I've been to Croatia, by the way.
Well, we're getting to that. You just wait. Number 2.
I had a great time there.
Cobra in Exposé equals Jacob in Lost. Could we assume that Jacob is someone we saw on the show before and that it will be a shock when we finally realize who Jacob is?
It would be awesome if Jacob turned out to be Billy Dee Williams, but it's not true.
It'll be a shock, all right, though. That's for sure.
It would be a shock, yeah.
Number 3. Please confirm again that Christian Shepherd is dead. I'm so tired of people who believe the opposite.
Well, you know, for those of you who believe the opposite, you're wrong. For those of you who believe Christian Shepherd is dead, you're vindicated.
How about that? Another definitive answer.
Oh, man, I'm not messing around
today. Of course.
I'm not messing around.
Carlton, let me talking about the word dead in a way that you don't fully understand yet. I feel like I had to do that disclaimer.
If dead means dead in the conventional narrative sense.
Assuming by dead, you mean rotting and decomposing. No.
Exactly.
One final thing. Carlton, just to let you know, Mira Furlan was born in Croatia, so the mystery is why the crazy French chick has a Croatian accent and not Yugoslav or Serbian, as you are so fond of saying. Please, if you cannot answer these questions, then just say hi to all fans in Croatia. So now's your opportunity to talk about how lovely Croatia is.
I love Croatia, and I've been up and down the coast of what was Yugoslavia, now Croatia, and other countries, and the island of Brač off the coast of Croatia is a beautiful place. You should all go there. Okay, so this is one you can answer. Little fans will be very happy if you answer this.
Wow.
It says Catch 22 trailer by Hugo Lost, 133 posts in the last 90 days. Locke looks like he's dying with about 90 question marks after that. And I was told by another Lost fan that the season will end with a war with at least two or three Lostaways getting life-threatening injuries, and two of them will die, and one of them is Desmond. If you go to LostSpoilers.com, Catch-22 trailer, the first video should be it, and Jin getting stabbed, and Hugo gets shot.
I will not say on the record that these events are not going to occur, and that there won't be a war in the finale, and that several of our lovely Lostaways will have their lives threatened if not taken. However, I'm not familiar with any of the scenes you just explained.
<I don't know.
laughs> So if they were to die, none of the ways that you describe include. If we were to shoot Hurley, can you imagine what would happen?
It would be over.
Terrible.
Terrible.
Hey, here's a quick one for you, Carlton.
Yes.
From Bian Kasheth.
I'll try to answer it as quickly as I can.
Kasheth? Beyond Kasha. 32 posts, last 90 days. Desmond and Aaron's real dad. Why is Desmond and Claire's ex-boyfriend, I forgot his name.
Tom.
Tom.
Thomas.
Why is their art so similar?
I was just looking at Lost Media and saw both of their artworks, and they are almost exactly alike. Why?
Well, busted. This is because our producing director in Hawaii, Jack Bender, is an artist who has decided to sort of add his own interpretive touch to certain places in the show. So when we call for certain artworks in the script, Jack has taken it upon himself to paint those artwork, and his style is uniquely his own. And so that is Jack Bender's artwork. In fact, he had an art show in Beverly Hills called, what's it called, Lost?
Lost and Found. Lost I think it was just called Found.
Found, yeah. But it was also, it was included, actually, the painting, Desmond's mural from The Hatch.
And Jack also did the painting that hangs in Widmore's office in Flashing Before Your Eyes.
Yeah.
So that answers that. Wow. Carlton, I got to say.
We are rocking today. All right, here's one for you.
I don't know if there are going to be any mysteries left at the end of this podcast.
Okay. Well, try this one on.
I've only got one more
Damon,
left for you.
This is my last one for you.
I can't wait.
It's the title is Ben's Lover by Serena Loves Lost. 12 posts in the last 90 days, which puts her squarely in the realm of sanity. Dear Damon and Carlton, I love the show and I think it's too sexy. But one question I really want to know, I wonder if that's too sexy or like too sexy. Like, well, you'll see. I'll read the sentence and you give me an interpretation whether she actually thinks there's too much sex or whether she thinks it's like, oh, too sexy.
Yeah, okay.
I love the show and I think it's too sexy, but one question I really want to know is, does Ben have or ever had a lover either on or off the island? He seems to have a tough exterior built around him, but why am I doing like a Zsa Zsa Gabor accent? I don't know.
Because of the too sexy thing. You're literally, what's the name of this questioner?
Serena.
You're just picturing Serena with a gaggle of fruit on her head, bopping around like Charo on the Love Boat, Carlton. And I just want to tell you, that's probably exactly what's going on. Okay, so I'm going to go with too sexy. Yeah. Like, she's really, in terms of seeing a softer side of Ben, sort of a guy who doesn't kill rabbits and... you know, that's
to
about
capture
as,
pregnant women.
That's about as soft as
order
he gets.
People to steal boys off of rafts.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably not.
I'm going to go with that. But I will say this.
Yes,
Ben has been in love.
Yeah,
and
Ben
we will
has
get and we will get some sense of who that person might have been in about 2 weeks.
Wow, but not a full. Not a, you won't.
You get a sense.
You get a sense. A sense.
All right, Carlton,
all right, last question.
My final question.
Let's hit the road.
And this one I know you can answer.
All right.
From Maxinova, 128 posts in the last 90 days.
Okay.
We have to make a chart that basically is like, here at 99 posts, you're sort of, is where the cutoff is. And then that way when people get to the 100th post, they'll actually think, gee, this is where
Stop.
I become insane.
Yeah.
This is where I literally start to hear Aaron speaking to me. Yeah. At around 190 posts, that's when you start to hear Vincent speaking to you. And at around 205 posts.
You start going to the Heroes website.
Yeah, exactly. You can actually begin to write on the show at 205 posts. So here we go, Carlton. Hey, are we ever going to see a Rousseau flashback? If so, please remember to include Montand and his arm.
Awesome! Oh my god, we love you. Yes, Montand and his missing arm is something that we are desperate to get to. We want to do a Rousseau flashback. We just haven't gotten there yet. But, you know, if we do a Rousseau flashback, it would really be incomplete if we didn't deal with Montand and his missing arm. In the meantime, if you want more about Montand, you know,
Wages of Fear.
Yeah, Wages of Fear, which was the inspiration for Montand.
Someone asked me once if Marvin Candle was Montand, because Marvin Candle is obviously wearing some form of prosthesis.
Yeah.
And we know that he has been on the island. But the problem is that film, you know, the orientation film was made in 1980 or 81.
Yeah.
The copyright, I think, is 81. And the French woman has only been there for 16 years.
Yeah.
So that would preclude him being Montand.
Right. So,
or would it?
Okay, Damon.
I like this sort of more lucid you, Carlton, although this slightly manic and insane you was a special treat for a time.
Yes, it was indeed. So,
I was standing by with my other's patented zapper, just in case I needed to put,
I was. It's been helping hold me over my neck the whole podcast.
Well, you passed.
All right, guys. Well, we love you, and we'll talk to you next week.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Aloha.
That's it for this week's podcast. Join us again next time for more fan questions and discussions about our next episode, DOC. And don't forget, you can submit your own fan questions at our website, lost.abc.com. DOC airs Wednesday, April 25th, from 10 to 11 p.m., only on ABC.